KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Skies are cloudy, a little bit of light, lingering fog in the listening area. It's currently 58 degrees. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In local news, in a very brief session, Atlantic Mayor Dave Jones announced during Wednesday's City Council meeting that action on a request to vacate a lot in the Southern Heights Subdivision 2nd Edition would not be taken during the meeting.
We're going to refer it down to Community Development Committee. The language is not quite right, what's going on there. A lot of confusion, so we're going to refer it back down to the committee and discuss it further.
Local developer Don Sontag asked if there would be a timeline for the transferring of the street vacation.
We'll try and get a meeting as soon as we can. We've got to have a public hearing on it, if I'm understanding.
I have two of those units that are spoken for, but I can't start until I get this resolved.
Okay.
And I want to thank some of the folks that came here tonight, or some of the folks that we do business with, and I don't want to brag, but 95% of all the materials we buy is bought in Atlantic, Iowa. I like to say that because it's okay. Important. But I'd like to get us onto a track where we can find out what the end result is here.
We're trying to speed up the best we can.
Okay, thank you.
In a letter to the council, Sontag said the City of Atlantic's Planning and Zoning Commission, quote, has thoroughly discussed, reviewed, and unanimously voted twice that the street easement is not needed, and the layout he presented to him was discussed for approval. Sontag Development LLC is considering building a total of more than 30 condominium units over a period of time, which he says would bring in a minimum of $215,000 in tax revenue annually for the city. Sontag said if the land is not vacated, the project will not proceed. In other business, the council set October the 1st as the date for a public hearing on the disposal of city properties located at 1200 Birch and 1106 Poplar Streets. The lot on Birch Street is vacant while the other property has a house on it. After the public hearing, the person who buys the property on Poplar would be responsible for tearing the house down. Mayor Dave Jones also set October 31st as the date for Halloween trick-or-treating. The hours that day will be from 5 until 7 p.m. And the mayor made mention of his efforts to bring an electronics recycling service to Atlantic.
I've been working on trying to get a recycling to come in and pick up all our TVs and stuff and microwaves and things in that area. And I finally got a thing back from the company that you guys are using up at landfill.
Mm-hmm.
They'll come in and bring a semi-truck and a person, and they'll take TVs, monitors, and computers and stuff like that. And I want to go down to
Public safety.
To look at that for sanitation and get that set up so we can get something done this year. It'll probably cost about $5,000 for that whole event. So I'm really looking for hopefully some public sponsors to help with that a little bit. I'm talking to CPC about getting a little bit of money out of CPC for it. But I think it'd be a free event. It would help a lot of stuff off out of the backyards, out of the garages and stuff. So I've been saying it for the last 3 or 4 years and finally got some good figures, and this should be a good deal.
More details on the program will be released later. The Cass County Board of Supervisors had a light agenda for their meeting Wednesday morning. The board approved the fiscal year 2013-2014 urban renewal report. Auditor Dale Sunderman said local governments are required to complete and submit an annual report showing all TIF activity within each of their urban renewal areas during the preceding fiscal year. Cass County had one active TIF area, the Amazing Energy Urban Renewal Area. Sunderman said $303,000 of the original $520,000 bond was outstanding as of July the 1st, 2013. $26,000 of the bond was paid by TIF funds in fiscal year 2014 to leave a bond balance of $277,000. In addition, interest expense of just over $9,473 was paid.
TIF revenues for fiscal year 14 were $29,359.65. Ending TIF fund balance was therefore $12,039. That's essentially it.
The board approved the urban renewal report as presented. They also set the number of deputies in the recorder's office at one. In the June 2014 primary, Mary Ward won the Republican nomination for Cass County Recorder. Joyce Jensen had earlier announced that she would not be running for re-election. No one is running against Ward in the November general election. Therefore, it's assumed that she will officially take over the post on November 14th. Former Deputy Recorder Lynn Headley retired from the office last Friday. Recorder Joyce Jensen said that Mary Ward is now the chief deputy in name only and will not be compensated the same as Headley. Before Ward can be certified by Jensen as her chief deputy, the board needed to approve the number of deputies Jensen can have, which is normally one.
After Mary hires
a deputy, when she takes office, then she'll hire a clerk, a part-time clerk, and it will go back to being the way the office was prior to us hiring Mary and her running for office. So the office is always run with one full-time deputy and one half-time person.
Okay.
And that part-time person does not have deputy privileges.
Okay.
At this point in time, that's the amount of staff that you need to run the office.
Ward will have a certified base salary of 80% of the recorder's salary. The motion was made by Wiedemeyer and seconded by Schelling to set the number of deputies in the recorder's office at one and to certify an annual base salary of $42,604 a year for the chief deputy county recorder, Mary Ward. Jensen says Ward has a stack of more than 100 applications to weed through in selecting the person who will become her deputy. The interviewing process is expected to begin next week. Iowa officials have cleared the way for two hog facilities in Adair County to expand their operations, even though local leaders twice rejected the projects. The Iowa Environmental Protection Commission on Tuesday backed a State Department of Natural Resources ruling on the facilities. That means that Circle G and Geidel Pork, operated by the same family, can double the number of pigs to nearly 5,000 at each site, even though Adair County supervisors twice voted against it. Local leaders asked the commission to deny the expansions because of concerns about air and water pollution, farming practices, and the impact of operations on nearby properties. State leaders say they can't require more distance between hog facilities and neighbors than the 1 mile currently allowed or required by law. Two sisters who operate a 1,500-acre outdoor retreat called Hatfield Lakes near Creston said they would consider shutting down their resort. The sisters say the family has invested at least $2.5 million, provided jobs for about a dozen people, and was considering an expansion. Ann Hatfield Merritt said that they're done. They will not invest another dime. She said, why would anyone want to visit a recreational lakefront when they're forced to smell hog odors? And Dean Anderson, who has chronic pulmonary disease and uses oxygen full-time, sent the commission a video saying the expansions would make him a prisoner in his own home. He said the hog facilities deny him and his neighbors their, quote, God-given right to fresh, clean air. And police in Creston report the arrest Wednesday morning of an Adair County man. 49-year-old Paul B. Pals of Orient was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a warrant out of Union County for OWI first offense. Pals was later released from jail on $1,000 bond. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.
If you or someone you know is a